As you know, we have announced that our elders are seeking to add to our deacons, and we have been asked to fill out a form that hopefully you have picked one up by now off the table in the foyer, and have that form turned in by next Sunday morning, March the 25th, at the evening worship hour next Sunday. The elders will announce the names of those to be considered, and the church will, for 2 weeks, consider those men. And as has been our practice before in choosing of selecting of elders, if anyone has a scriptural objection to any of those nominees, and particularly one that cannot be resolved in discussion, the objection should be placed in writing and given to the elders before April the 8th. On April the 8th, the new deacons will be appointed. Last Sunday night, we discussed a lesson that I called an overview of deacons, and tonight, I'd like for us to look a little bit further into that particular subject matter, and the title of our lesson is in the form of a question: who could be a deacon? Perhaps one of the first answers that comes to mind in asking that question, who could be a deacon, it would have to, first of all, be answered, a man could only be a deacon if he wanted to be a deacon. Deacons are not forced into service, and certainly the work of a deacon would not be well performed by one who did so grudgingly or out of a sense of force or obligation. And so with that basic answer aside and assumed by all of us that one who is going to serve as a deacon is one who is willing to serve as a deacon, the work of a deacon involves just that. It involves a lot of work. And I believe I have known people on certain occasions who have thought they wanted to be deacons until they were appointed as deacons, and then they realized real fast that they had gotten into more than they had bargained for. I hope that that would never be the case here, but I believe it has been the case with some individuals, and so it needs to be understood from the very beginning that there is a lot of work involved in the work of a deacon. Who could be a deacon? Were those men in Acts chapter 6, we read about in verses 1 through 6, the first deacons? I believe we mentioned last Sunday night that we would answer this question, and I believe the answer to that question, were those men the first deacons in the New Testament church? Well, the answer may be a little bit confusing. I think the answer is not exactly. They were not called deacons. They were not selected based on the same qualities that are expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. They were men who did work that deacons surely would do. There were no elders in the church at that time. Someone says, well, but there were apostles, and they could have served in the same capacity as elders. And I suppose that's true. It is interesting, though, to note that the Jewish congregations, before the church was established, those groups of Jews who met in various places in the synagogues, had men who were designated to fill a role of servants of the congregation. Now, they were not called deacons, as we refer to people as deacons or men as deacons in the New Testament church, but they filled a role that was very similar to what we understand deacons can do today. They filled a role that was very, very close to what those men were selected to do in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I don't have any problem and certainly wouldn't get in a knockdown, drag-out fight with someone who wanted to say those men were the examples of the first deacons in the church. But I believe that those men probably, just as accurately, you could say, were carryovers of the same type of service-oriented men that we read about in the history of the Jewish congregations, what would be wrong, somebody says, with calling them deacons? Well, the only problem I would have with it is the New Testament doesn't call them deacons. And so that's why I prefaced that answer with the fact that this question, this answer might be a little bit confusing, but I don't think it's an important point, one way or the other, to say, were those men in Acts chapter 6 the first deacons in the church? Who could be a deacon? Those described in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, are the ones who could be deacons. Again, I'd like for us to read that passage. Reading to you from the New King James Version, Paul says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, and let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, last Sunday night we discussed those qualities, qualifications, characteristics of a man's life that Paul gives through inspiration of the Holy Spirit there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. We will not go back through those individually again tonight, but one thing is for sure. A man who does not meet these descriptive qualities, one whose life is not described in those terms, certainly would not be an individual who could properly serve the Lord's church as a deacon. We understand from the definition of the word what deacons are. Deacons are special servants to the church. They serve under the leadership of the church, under the authority of the leadership, at the instruction of the leadership, and of course, we're referring to the elders when we speak of the leadership of the church. I believe sometimes we incorrectly refer to deacons as a part of the church leadership. I don't believe the New Testament describes them in that way. Elders are those who comprise the leadership of the church. Certainly, there are many men who are not elders who possess qualities or characteristics that make them good leaders of people. But the leadership of the Lord's church, the leadership of the local congregation, is put into the hands of the eldership. It is God's will that the elders are the leaders. And the deacons serve in the capacity of being those who serve at the will of the elders and at the instruction of the elders for the good of the church, for the accomplishment of God's cause in the local congregation, and for the glorification of God. Those who are described in that passage could be deacons. In the second place, I would suggest that one who is well suited to be a servant could be a deacon. One who is well suited to be a servant. Now, the next question that obviously comes up is, well, how would we know? How would we know if a person is well suited to be a servant? Consider this line of reasoning. We're all saved to serve. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you connect that passage with what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where he says that it's God's will that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. The only conclusion that can be drawn is that God intends that all of His children be servants. And so, how do we know if a man is well suited to being a servant? By observation of his Christian life. Certainly, as we look at the life and the service of a man who is a child of God, a lot of things may be very obvious. It may be very obvious, for example, if there are some hindrances in his life that prevent him from being a servant in general terms so far as Christianity is concerned. There are some men who are not well suited to be servants because they have too many masters already. Because there are so many things in their lives that they have considered to be more important than serving God, therefore they're not doing a good job of being God's servants in the local congregation and certainly couldn't be counted on to be special servants filling the role of deacons. Now, there are also perhaps some who would not be well suited to being deacons because some folks just really are looking for a very specialized role. And some people don't do a good job of living the Christian life because, as I've heard folks say before, well, you know, I don't really want to do that. Or, that just doesn't sit too good with me. I'd really rather not ever have to be involved in helping to teach. I don't think that you should ever be able to call upon me to do this or to do that. Well, brother, what could we call on you for? Well, you know, anytime you need just this one thing done, then call on me. We're not all qualified to do everything, that's for sure. But I'm convinced that there are some people in the Lord's church who have such a narrow view of what they want to do that if you were to call upon them in most any circumstance of special need, you might receive a refusal for an answer. Obviously, a person who has that kind of highly specialized focus certainly wouldn't be able to serve well as a deacon in the Lord's church. For he has a difficult time just being a Christian. There are some who have a negative attitude. There are some who have a negative attitude toward the very concept of being a servant. Obviously, there are some folks who feel that they're too good to serve. There are some people who feel like that some of the menial duties of Christianity would be a little bit beneath them. And really, if you need that done, you better get somebody else. Obviously, we're talking in terms that could be described as extreme in this discussion. And yet, I want to make the point very clearly that an individual who has not wholeheartedly committed and dedicated himself to serving the Lord and the local congregation in whatever respect he may be needed and have the ability to do, one who's not willing to do that should never be asked or called upon to serve as a deacon. Some people lack the humility to be good servants. Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul describes the humility of the Lord. He says that the Lord humbled Himself, took upon Himself the form of a bondservant, became made in the likeness of a man, and humbled Himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility is certainly one of the stronger requirements, if that's good terminology, to serve as a deacon. In fact, it would be difficult to be a Christian in the true sense of the word if one lacks the humility to serve. And certainly one who does not have the humility, has not demonstrated the temperament, the dependability, the attitude that is conducive to service probably would not be well suited to be a deacon. In the third place, let me suggest to you that one who has no selfish ambition could be a deacon. The deaconship is not necessarily a step on a ladder that goes anywhere except to heaven. Serving as a deacon is not necessarily a step toward becoming an elder. Now, an individual in serving as a deacon may develop the traits of leadership, may develop the wisdom and the maturity, and all of the other things that the Scriptures set forth as being necessities to serve as an elder. And certainly the individual who has served as a deacon should be able to serve as an elder. But not just because he has served as a deacon. The deacon is not a consolation position for those who could never be elders. I've heard people described in terms like this. Well, you know, he's a pretty good old boy. He never will be an elder, though, but, you know, he could be a deacon. I think we need to be careful with that kind of terminology. I think we need to be careful with that kind of description. As though to leave the impression that serving as a deacon is a consolation prize for not being able to serve as an elder. As we said last Wednesday night, deacons are not junior elders. They're not in the chain of authority just below the elders. They're not the guys that you go to if you can't find the elders. The deacons are separate entirely from the eldership. And an individual who sees serving as a deacon as some kind of ambitious move to be at the right place at the right time in order to move into the eldership has misunderstood the whole matter of elders and deacons in the Lord's church. I believe that Scripture leads us to the conclusion that a deacon is a living illustration of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. I believe the life of a deacon should epitomize that passage. Paul says in that verse, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Perhaps we should observe the fact that those words were not spoken just to deacons. Those words were spoken to the local congregation, the church at Philippi. And in that whole host of other things that Paul instructed those brethren with and encouraged them to do, this is one of the things that he said you must do or you must not do. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Brethren, that is a difficult command to answer. It's something that I believe every single one of us in the Lord's church, male, female, mature, or inexperienced, no matter who we are, I believe that passage holds an instruction for us that needs to be carefully thought of and applied every day that we live as Christians. But who should better illustrate with their life that passage than those who serve in the significant way as special servants, as deacons to the Lord's church?